You're an ice cream cone. You're a lollipop. You're a baby chick. You're a pogo stick. You're a magic trick. You're a spinning top. You're special.
Well, welcome to podcast number 6 here at the Neighborhood Archive. I'm very pleased to have Scott with me today. Scott, welcome.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Scott actually was going to be the very first guest on the Neighborhood Archive podcast, and thanks to some bad recording on my end, that whole recording had to be scratched. So here we are six episodes later, and we finally get Scott back on here. So it's great to have you here, Scott. What Scott and I have talked about, we talked about putting together a podcast about some songs that we really like from the show, from the albums, just different songs that have different meanings to us. And then so as we decided to maybe each of us pick out a few songs, as I was picking out my songs, I was thinking, this is a lot like when I used to make mixtapes for my friends, you know, growing up, or this is for us who grew up in the 80s. If you're past that time, you may not know what a mixtape even is, but what my thought turned into was that this would become like a Mr. Rogers mixtape, to where we would have two sides. Scott would get a side, I would get a side, and so we both have picked out 5 songs that we feel like would be good songs to put on a quote unquote Mr. Rogers mixtape. Now, the one catch here is that I thought it would be a good idea to make this a mixtape that we would be giving to another adult. I know, you know, the people listening to this are probably in the same boat that we are, where, you know, you talk about Mr. Rogers and you kind of get a funny look sometimes. And so this mixtape, in my mind, would be if we were trying to convince or trying to explain to another adult why the music and the work of Fred Rogers was so important and continues to be important. So we're going to jump right into the 10 songs that we've chosen. We're going to just spend a minute or two talking about each one. Play a few clips here and there of different lyrics that we feel like are significant and important to us, and we'll get through this relatively quickly, probably. So, Scott, I'm gonna let you start. If you want to jump right in with whatever you would feel like would be the first song that you would put on a Mr. Rogers mixtape.
Why don't we start with "You Are Special"? That's one of my favorite songs, and he sings this song rather frequently. It's one that's probably more well-known than others. If you look at some of the words, I think of not just kids when I hear the words, but I also think of people who might have a lot of low self-esteem in life. Think about people going through a divorce, or people going through depression, or suffering from addictions and just can't break free from those addictions. How about people who are dealing with verbal or even physical abuse. Mm-hmm. And how important it is to hear the words of this song.
You are my friend, you are special. You are my friend, you're special to me. You are the only one like you my friend, I like you.
When these adults might not have any other person in their life telling them these things, this song gives them that positive message that they are very special.
I agree with you. I think there's people out there with the same issues and different issues, of course, but the same issues that kids have. And of course, these songs were generally written with children in mind, but they're so, you can apply them so much to adult issues, you know, just like a lot of the things, even some of the more serious things you just mentioned, more serious issues that people deal with. This song is right up that alley as well. Well, kind of along those same lines, I'll go into one of the first ones I had, which I think is a very similar song in Everybody's Fancy. Mm-hmm. This has just been a song that I've always really enjoyed, whether that's just the sound of the song or the message of the song. But I think Everybody's Fancy, just like you've explained, You Are Special, I think Everybody's Fancy falls into that exact same category where I don't think anybody's too young or too old to hear that message of, hey, you're special and you're okay just the way you are right now. You know, just the everybody is fancy and everybody is fine just the way they are.
Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy and so is mine.
you know, just
which
the just
is
the,
a little bit different from society when we see the pictures of celebrities on the tabloids.
And oh, absolutely.
We want to. We're told that we need to look like the most popular person of the day and their figure. And as you said, the words to this song, "Everybody's Fancy," reminds us that, you know, it's okay not to look like the supermodel.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at a lot of the other kids shows that are out there, I'm not trying to pick on any one or the other, but a lot of the kids shows, especially as kids get a little bit older, and again, here I am talking about kids, I guess, more so than adults, but kids, you know, they see that these expectations of society, you know, and they grow up with these expectations into adulthood, and then as people, you know, as their bodies develop and as their bodies, you know, get older, you know, I think everybody knows as you get older, your body, it takes a little more work to keep it in good shape. You know, I think adults need this message just as much as kids, because I think there's pressure on everybody, young and old, to meet these expectations. And it's important to know that everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. You know, your body's fancy, and so is mine. I love it. I love it. So
it's a catchy tune as well.
It is. It is. It absolutely is. All right. What's your next one, Scott?
How about Please Don't Think It's Funny?
Please don't think it's funny when you want the ones you miss. There are lots and lots of people who sometimes feel like this.
When I listen to that song, I think of how people sometimes need security in life. He talks about holding a pillow and holding a teddy bear, which would be describing kids, but adults maybe don't need teddy bears per se, or a nightlight like he references. But I think a lot of times adults need that security in life. Comfort food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People, when they have problems in life, they always tend to go to comforting things like movies or certain shows or food even. I think that's kind of the point here of the song. It's okay. Don't think it's funny that if you need that extra security, it feel like it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you look at the second stanza, there are two phrases here that I kind of enjoy.
In the long, long trip of growing, there are stops along the way for thoughts of all the soft things and a look at yesterday.
So that gives me a little bit different perspective than just a toddler. This makes me think of a toddler growing up, you know, 12 years, 15 years, 18 years down the road. And it's okay to remember the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to look back. And don't think it's funny if you want to. It's perfectly natural to do that.
Mm-hmm. The next one I've got, I'm going to go with I Like to Take My Time. And this song, gosh, if there's ever a song I think for adults, this is one of the top ones out there, you know, that could be applied to the adult life, because everything as you get older is just so rush, that everybody's in a hurry. Everybody, you know, people don't know how to stand in line at a store anymore without growing impatient. People don't know how to sit in traffic. People don't know how to wait, you know, at a red light for longer than, you know, 2 seconds before they grow impatient. Just there's so many times on a daily basis, and I'm, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here, to where, you know, I myself, you know, this is a song that I find very, you know, applicable to my own life, that, you know, in the times where I find myself growing impatient, it's funny because since I've been going back through a lot of this Mr. Rogers stuff these past few years, this song pops in my head pretty frequently, to be honest.
I like to take my time. I mean that when I want to do a thing, I like to take my time to do it right. I mean, I just might make mistakes if I should have to hurry up, and so I like to take my time.
You know, as times when I'm growing frustrated in traffic, I spend about 25 minutes to and from work every day on the interstate during, you know, prime driving hours, and, you know, it can be frustrating at times, and you know, I just try to just pace myself and say, hey, you know, I like to take my time. I mean, it's a very calming song, it kind of puts things in perspective. But, you know, and in the, I think it's also applicable to the quality of work that people can do. You know, I think in the job world, it's expected that you're going to do as much as you possibly can and get through as much as you can as fast as you can. That's the expectation in so many places in the working world. But that's more of an emphasis on quantity and not quality. And I think, you know, the theme of this song emphasizes the quality, you know, that just slow down, relax a little bit, and do the best you can, even if it takes you a little bit longer to do. What's next?
Then your heart is full of love.
When your heart has butterflies inside it, then your heart is full of love. When your heart feels just like overflowing, then your heart is full of love.
That's a song that isn't as popular as some of the other ones. And didn't you, on the earlier podcast, relate the fact that it's a really an old song? Wasn't that song on the Children's Corner record or another record that was from the 50s or 60s?
It's written by Fred and by Josie Carey. They wrote that one together, so it's definitely one of the older songs.
Is it on the King Friday, the 13th, celebrates?
I'm not sure. Let me check real quick.
It seems like it was on one of those older... I was really surprised because the comment was made that you always associate that song with Mayor Maggie.
Right, right.
And I think Eric must have been the guest that time for the podcast. Mm-hmm. You said, well, this is actually a lot older, and you had referenced...
Yeah, it is it's on the King Friday the 13th celebration.
Yes, I was really surprised with that. I was impressed by the words. I like the tune, first of all. I think it's a really pretty tune. But it's not just a love that's romantic. When he talks about when your heart can sing another's gladness, then your heart is full of love. When your heart can cry another's sadness, then your heart is full of love. And that's really a mature understanding of what love is. Mm-hmm. He does refer to when your heart beats for a special someone, which would be the romantic type, but it's not just about romance. And I love the way he ties in the sacrificial, brotherly type of love to be with people in their time of need and in their time of happiness. That's what love really is.
Yeah, this is an example of a song, I think, that it goes so much deeper than just a kid's show. You know, a lot of these, it's very evident that they were written with kids in mind. But a song like this, I mean, this is something that to me goes so far beyond, you know, a half-hour children's show. Just, you know, as you've touched on, there's so many just... you know, deeper messages in these words if you sit and look at them line by line by line and not just, you know, hum the tune as you hear the song. There's so much more to this song.
I think Fred really lived by these words. If you read that book by the journalist from Texas, from Dallas, I think.
Tim Madigan?
Yeah, Madigan.
Yeah, it's I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. If you read that book, you can really see how the author demonstrates that Mr. Rogers, his heart really had room for everybody, and he really could sing another's gladness and cry another's sadness.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was his life. Mm-hmm. And I just, that book made me feel, you know, so inadequate, because mm-hmm. I look at myself at times, and you think of this epic goodness that Fred Rogers radiated, because he had that unique ability to sing another's gladness and cry another's sadness in a very genuine way. And that's not something you find a lot in this world.
Yeah. And as a quick aside, I think, Scott, you were the one that originally recommended that book to me. And it's by far one of my favorites. It's if you've not read that, anybody listening, if you've not read that book, I think it comes highly recommended by both of us here. The next one I've got kind of goes along the same lines as the previous two I've mentioned. This is another one that I think can be applied to adults who feel like the world revolves around them, you know, as we all do from time to time. And that song is What Do You Do With the Mad That You Feel? You know, I think, again, just as I've said before with the other two songs, the song is just as relevant to a child as it is to an adult. You know, I think my favorite line in the whole song is, is where he says, and I know that that feeling is really mine. I think it's important for kids and adults alike to have ownership, to feel like they're in control at all times, even when they're mad. You know, because I know sometimes when people become angry, it's, you know, it's difficult to take control of those feelings and feel like you're in control while you're feeling angry. And, you know, just to say, I can stop when I want to, I can stop when I wish, I can stop anytime.
I can stop when I want to, can stop when I wish, can stop, stop, stop anytime. And what a good feeling to feel like this and know that the feeling is really mine.
I think that's it's a very simple, but it's a very powerful message there.
How about when the day turns into night?
Okay.
To me, that's always associated with Grandparents' Day because Francois Clemens sings that. He actually hums it into the straw in the water glass, and then Reardon, I think. Well, Clemens does sing it eventually in that scene. I think I've heard that song on one or two other episodes. It's not a song that is really well known.
Right.
That it made it into Mr. Rogers' songbook that was published by Hal Leonard that I think you can still buy on the Fred Rogers website. But, I think of that song and, you know, the immediate context of grandparents who might live far away would come into one's mind. But I also think about just people maybe physically separated. Think about military families. When the spouse might be over in the States and the husband is over in Afghanistan or Iraq. If you look at the words in that context, when the day turns into night and you're way beyond my sight, I think of you.
Mm-hmm. When the day turns into night and you're way beyond my sight, I think of you. I think of you.
So again, it's more than just a kid's song, as I think we've revealed with most of these songs so far. This is just a regular human song dealing with human relationships, mm-hmm. reminding people who are far away, who are dear to us, that they're still in our thoughts and we still care about them. Mm-hmm.
Well, the next one I've got is the Creation duet, and this is another one, like you've just mentioned, another song that doesn't show up very often, but it's when it does, I think it's just a very special song. It kind of shows evidence of Fred's religious tendencies in a very subtle way, you know, to where it's not an in your face type religious song, but it's a way for him to work in those thoughts and those beliefs of his into his program and into the storylines.
Who made the rain and made the snow, made us and made us want to know. God made the rainbow, the bird and the summer sun. God made the mountain, the stars, each and every one.
You know, as we've mentioned, I think Eric and I, when we were on here a few times ago, talked about the change in lyrics. Mm-hmm. You know, Lady Aberlin, at one time, how she changed it to, you know, that she had made the land, God referenced as a female, you know, and by all means, you know, everyone has their opinions there. Later on, you know, when Daniel and Lady Aberlin sang it together, the words were changed from God to love. But to me, the theme and the idea is still there. I think it showed up, I think, just once on a record, and that again was on that King Friday Celebrates album, and I believe that was Reardon, and I think X the Owl, I think, mm-hmm. sing that together. But I mean, as far as the content of the song, it's not necessarily something I think that is directly, you know, directly relevant to adults specifically. I think this is an example of a song that I would include to express to other adults just the spectrum, the variety of music that Fred Rogers wrote. You know, and that this was just another song that he had written for the show, right along with all of these songs that are about feelings and about you know, feeling special and things like that. That this is something that to me, as soon as you read the words, it's, you know, it's very directly and very blatantly religious in nature. But it's not, like I said, it's not like an in-your-face type song. I'm quite curious to get your opinion on this song.
Well, the listeners out there would maybe not realize the fact that when I log in the message board, my username is Pastor Scott. I am a Lutheran pastor, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor, and when I first heard this song, I was really excited about it, because you don't get too many glimpses into the spiritual side of Fred Rogers, direct glimpses. Now, you can glean some thoughts from his other songs, but it's, you know, it's not really a Christian song per se. It's, Jewish people would adhere to the creation of the world by God. But to give God the credit for his creative power is certainly a lot different than what you would hear in the media today. Right. So maybe that's why this song didn't get too much airtime.
but I think you make a good point that this is a song that's that, like I said, is religious in nature, but it's all encompassing. It's not directly a Christian song. You know, it's a song that I think anyone with any form of religion could apply this song to their own personal religion. If that makes any sense, I don't know if that's intentional, but I think it's possible.
God made the mighty and God made the very small. So we're not a product of random chance.
Right.
We have an intentional creator. And that should be good for self-esteem issues as well.
Sure. Well, what's your last song that you've picked here?
My last song is It's You I Like. Now, everyone probably would say that's their favorite song because of the memorable clip of Jeff Rillinger. In the wheelchair, and you know, from whether 1979 or 1980, and then seeing that clip again later on when Fred got that award, and Jeff came out. I mean, everyone just cries when they see that. And then you see these celebrities in the audience crying with Mr. Rogers, and when Jeff comes on stage, it's a very moving scene, a very popular scene. It's usually a clip that is shown. When the show is being described, that's always kind of the clip that is selected. But again, it reinforces the positive nature of how Fred wanted to explain how important we are.
Mm-hmm. It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair, but it's you I like. The way you are right now, the way down deep inside you. Not the things that hide you, not your toys. They're just beside you. It's you I like.
It's not the things we wear, not the way we do our hair, but it's you I like. It's the deep down inside us. It's not our fancy bodies, per se, that Hollywood wants us to be a particular way, or the clothes we wear. It's our feelings and our emotions and our souls. Mm-hmm. And that was, of course, a very important theme throughout a lot of these songs and throughout his 30-plus years on TV. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it talks in here too about, you know, the importance, or I guess the lack of importance when it comes to possessions, you know, because that's one of the lines he often changes when he, depending on who he's singing with or singing to, you know, about, you know, not your toys, not your whatever the case might be in that particular situation. They're just beside you, to where he's just very clear that you know, the things are just things, that what's important are individual relationships and personal relationships.
In the songbook, Many Ways to Say I Love You, which I think is still available on the website and the Fred Rogers Company, it's a neat book because the latter part has the musical notes in it. I don't know if you've seen a copy of it or not, but the front part has little essays in it, like little sermonettes. And he does relate some of these songs to Christianity in his little vignettes. And I think this is one of the few songs that we've discussed that is in the book. In this edition, and he does talk a little bit about Jesus when he is writing about this song. And then towards the end of the paragraph, he says, children often show me the clothes they're wearing and tell me that their pants or their dresses are new. After I tell them that I like their clothes, I often add, but you know what, the part of you that I like best? It's that part, it's that person inside. I wonder if we all don't like to hear that sometimes.
Yeah, that's it's a really neat book, the one you're talking about, just because I know exactly what you mean. I remember reading the different comments that were in there, and I remember getting a very, you know, it seems like it's one of the handful of books out there that have a touch of the religious side of Fred in it versus just the strictly, you know, the children's host side, you know, the child development side in comparison to his religious side. So, well, speaking of religious side, I would wrap up my five with a song that, as far as I know, only made it to the show a few times, and as far as in the episodes I've got, you know, I don't have a ton of the earlier episodes, so I'm assuming it showed up a little more often back then. But the song "Goodnight God" is just one of my, hands down, one of my favorites. Now, earlier with the creation duet, I said it wasn't an in-your-face type religious song. Well, this I think is. You know, this is very clearly a prayer. It wraps up a couple of the albums. It wraps up the Around the Children's Corner album, and I believe it also wraps up the King Friday album as well. And in looking back, I'd forgotten he closes out the first week of the program with this song. And I think from an adult standpoint, I think this song means a lot to me because I think this is one that, you know, when my oldest daughter was a little bit younger, you know, this is a song that we would sing at night occasionally, just as she was going to bed. So it's kind of a lullaby slash prayer at the same time that came to be, you know, kind of special in our family. And, you know, I can't say that we've used it too much lately as she's gotten a little bit older. But, yeah, I think, you know, from an adult standpoint, this as a just a general for anyone with, you know, for anybody who's religious, I guess you could say, just as a general prayer, to end the day with. This is just an extremely, extremely powerful song.
Good night, God, and thank you for this very lovely day. Thank you, too, for helping us at work and at our play. Thank you for our families, for each and every friend. Forgive us, please, for anything we've done that might offend.
I think the first time I ever heard this was on episode 5. The first week, which was released on Amazon back in November, and I was like, wow, I didn't have any idea that the song existed. And to hear that phrase, forgive us, please, for anything we've done that might offend, it was like, wow, this is a little bit more on the religious, more on the Christian side that I ever had seen on a Mr. Rogers episode. Yeah, I would ditto everything that you said.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting to see it on an episode. I really, you know, on a personal level, I admire that. I admire the fact that that he was able to use that on basically on public television. You know that.
And well, that shows how much television has changed too, from 1968 till now, or even So it just shows you some history there with tolerance on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, any wrap up thoughts here as far as all of these songs in total, or is there anything that any songs that you were tempted to include here that didn't quite make the cut? Or,
well, there's so many songs. I think they really have held up well over the years. They don't sound dated. A lot of songs from the 60s just didn't last because they just weren't well written, and that's what history does. It kind of sifts out the mediocre from the excellent, you know. So we keep a smaller grouping of songs from the past as we keep going forward in the future. And but a lot of his songs, I think, have just held up so well with the messages and even the music that they don't sound like they're from the 70s or from the 60s or from the 80s. And the messages that they contain are life lessons that I think everyone can relate to.
Well, for the sake of time, just in order to keep this down to about a half an hour, let's go ahead and just call it quits there. I want to say thanks to Scott for taking the time to do this and to piece together his thoughts and to share them with us here. Hopefully this recording will turn out a little better than our last. And we'll be able to get this one up in the next couple of days and have you back on here sometime again soon, Scott.
That would be great. I always love talking with you, Tim. And, yeah, whenever you have a topic that you think I could contribute to, just let me know. It's great to be here today.
Well, thanks again. And for anybody listening, feel free to chime in. Jump on the message board if you don't have an account. It's very quick and easy to sign up. Jump on the message board, share some thoughts. Feel free to share with us any thoughts you have on the songs we chose, or chime in with some songs that you would have included had you had the opportunity to pick some songs to share with some adult friends to relay the message of Fred Rogers. And, of course, as always, keep an eye on the Neighborhood Archive. I'm hoping to get back on pace here very soon with more regular updates as I head back to work for another school year and get back on a more regular schedule. So thanks a lot for listening, everybody, and thanks again to Scott.